ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम् थर्ड कैंटो 9 चैप्टर टेक्स्ट नंबर 11 त्वं भक्ति योग परिभावित हृत् सरोज आसे श्रुते क्षित पतो ननु नाथ पुंसाम् यद्यद्धि यात उर्गाय विभावयन्ति तत्तत्त्वपुः प्रणयसे सदनुग्रहाय त्वं भक्ति योग परिभावित हृत् सरोज आसे श्रुते क्षित पतो ननु नाथ पुंसाम् यद्यद्धि यात उर्गाय विभावयन्ति तत्त्वपुः प्रणयसे सदनुग्रहाय त्वं भक्ति योग परिभावित हृत् सरोज आसे श्रुते क्षित पतो ननु नाथ पुंसाम् यद्यद्धि यात उर्गाय विभावयन्ति तत्तत्त्वपुः प्रणयसे सदनुग्रहाय
to you.
Bhakti Yoga in devotional service. Paribhavita, being 100% engaged. Hrit, of the heart. Saroje, so it's given Saroje, Saroja. Saroja, on the lotus. Ase, you reside. Shruta Ikshita, seen through the ear. Pataha, the path. Nanu, now. Natha, O my Lord. Pumsam, of the devotees. Yat Yat, whichever. Dhiya, by meditating. Te, you are. Urugaya, O multi-glorious. Vibhavayanti, they specifically think of. Tat Tat, the very same. Vapuhu, transcendental form. Pranayase, do you manifest. Sadanugrahaya, to show your causeless mercy. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace is the Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. O my Lord, your devotees can see you through the ears by the process of bona fide hearing, and thus their hearts become cleansed. And you take your seat there. You are so merciful to your devotees that you manifest yourself in the particular eternal form of transcendence in which they always think of you. Purport. The statement here that the Lord manifests Himself before the devotee in the form in which the devotee likes to worship Him indicates that the Lord becomes subordinate to the desire of the devotee, so much so that He manifests His particular form as the devotee demands. This demand of the devotee is satisfied by the Lord because He is pliable in terms of the transcendental loving service to the devotee. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.11. Yeyatamam prapadyante tamstateva bhajamyaham. We should note, however, that the Lord is never the order supplier of the devotee. Here in this verse it is particularly mentioned, Tvam Bhakti Yoga Paribhavita. This indicates that the efficiency achieved through the execution of matured devotional service or prema, love of Godhead. So this is the way the efficiency is achieved, he says. This state of prema is achieved by the gradual process of development from faith to love. On faith, one associates with bona fide devotees, and by such association, one can become engaged in bona fide devotional service, which includes proper initiation and the execution of the primary devotional duties prescribed in the revealed scriptures. This is clearly indicated herein by the words Shruta Ikshita. A Shrutekshita path is to hear from bona fide devotees who are conversant with Vedic wisdom, free from mundane sentiment. By this bona fide hearing process, the neophyte devotee becomes cleansed of all material rubbish, and thus he becomes attached to one of the many transcendental forms of the Lord as described in the Vedas. So, in this first paragraph, Prabhupada says, how Lord is pliable, you know, He is malleable to His devotee, and because of love for His devotee, He appears in any form that the devotee wants to see Him. At the same time, Prabhupada gives a warning here that a devotee of the Lord never considers the Lord order supplier. Rather, a devotee of the Lord matures in devotional service from faith to prema through a bona fide process of accepting initiation in Vaishnava Guru Parampara. And then he intensifies his prema for the Lord, and through that prema, the Lord is captured, because bhakti is Krishna Akarshani. And there is one more paragraph here. This attachment of the devotee to a particular form of the Lord is due to natural inclination. Each and every living entity is originally attached to a particular type of transcendental service because he is eternally the servitor of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya says that the living entity is eternally a servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Therefore, every living entity has a particular type of service relationship with the Lord, eternally. This particular attachment is invoked by the practice of regulative devotional service to the Lord, and thus the devotee becomes attached to the eternal form of the Lord, exactly like one who is already eternally attached. This attachment for a particular form of the Lord is called Swarupa Siddhi. The Lord sits on the lotus heart of the devotee in the eternal form the pure devotee desires, and thus the Lord does not part from the devotee as confirmed in the previous verse. The Lord, however, does not disclose Himself to a casual or inauthentic worshipper to be exploited. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavritaha. Rather, by yogamaya, the Lord remains concealed to the non-devotees or casual devotees who are serving their sense gratification. The Lord is never visible to the pseudo-devotees who worship the demigods in charge of universal affairs. The conclusion is that Lord cannot become the order supplier of a pseudo-devotee, but He is always prepared to respond to the desires of a pure, unconditional devotee who is free from all tinges of material infection. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuhu Anmelitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamakyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sakitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyadeshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kantarada Kantanamostute Tatta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. This is a very special verse today. Svam Bhakti Yoga Paribhavita Hrit Saroja. The Hrit or the Hridai is actually called as Saroja on the lotus. In the same Srimad Bhagavatam, the Hriday is also called as Tadashmasaram, Hridayam Padedam, Nagrihyamanair Harinamadheya. The Bhagavatam also calls the heart as a steel-framed heart. Whereas here the Bhagavatam calls the heart as a lotus heart. So how can a heart be a lotus sometimes and steel-framed other times? A heart which is absorbed in sense gratification is a steel-framed heart. Or hard heart, which is hardened by raga and dvesha, attachment and aversion. You all can hear me the last row clearly? Yeah? Volume a little bit. Hare Krishna. The heart becomes hardened, like Dhritarashtra had attachment for Duryodhana, so his heart became hard. So he wanted to embrace Bhima and crush him. That's why Bhima put an iron statue in front of him. So when Dhritarashtra embraced that, what happened? It was crushed into pieces, isn't it? So Dhritarashtra had a hard heart because of attachment. Similarly, the heart becomes hard because of aversion also. Dvesha, raga and dvesha also. So somebody who has aversion, like Duryodhana had aversion for the Pandavas, so he repeatedly made several assassination attempts to kill them. So the heart remains hard as long as the living entity associates with three gunas in this world and repeatedly suffers from lamentation and imagined enjoyment and all that. But when the heart becomes focused on the lotus feet of Krishna, it acquires the same quality of the lotus feet of Krishna, which is to be like a lotus. Because Krishna's lotus feet are lotus, the heart of the devotee also becomes like lotus. Although the lotus is born in muddy pools of water in this world, still the lotus is considered a royal flower or a king of flowers. Similarly, somebody may be living in the midst of the world, surrounded by a thorough materialistic civilization. But if they can focus their heart in devotional service to Krishna, then their heart can be like a lotus. It can bloom like a lotus from the midst of a muddy pool society. That's why it says Hrit Saroja. And he says, Bhakti Yoga Paribhavita Hrit Saroja. Bhakti means the love of the Anuchid Vastu for the Brihachid Vastu. That is Bhakti. Chid Vastu means conscious living entity. Anuchid Vastu means tiny conscious living entity. His love for the Brihachid Vastu, which is Krishna, who is the great living entity also. The greatest of all living beings is Krishna. Nityo Nityanam, Chaitana Chaitananam, Yekko Bahunam, Yo Vidhidhati Kama. So that loving attraction which is natural, that is called Bhakti. When that Bhakti is awakened, Paribhavita Hrit Saroja, he says. Paribhavita means 100%. The word Bhavita repeatedly appears in the scriptures. Tada Sat Bhava Bhavitaha, he says, you know. Like he says, Aham Sarvasya Prabho Matta Sarvam Pravartate Iti Matva Bhajante Mam Buddha Bhava Samanvitaha. See, Bhava, he says. Similarly, he says, Yo Mameva Asammoodho Janati Purushottamam Sa Sarvavit Bhajati Mam Sarva Bhavena Bharata. So, Krishna puts some adjectives for how his bhakti has to be. So, Bhava means wholeheartedly one should have devotional service to him, he says. What is the meaning of wholehearted bhakti? Generally, people are ready to give money, donations. People are ready to give, lend their car. They are ready to lend their land. Some people may lend a little bit of service also. But it's very rare indeed to see somebody giving their heart to Krishna. That is very rare. And how that kind of wholehearted bhakti awakens the heart? See, wholehearted bhakti is what? That is very important to understand first. Like, you know, if any of you had a sister whom you got married, settled, you will know how much time and energy one has to put in getting a sister married. Sometimes 2 weeks before the marriage, you take a leave from the company, because you have to go and invite so many important people. You have to first of all make a list of all the relatives' names and everything. One name you miss out, they will take offense, isn't it? Then you go out and go on a hot sunny day or a rainy day, home to home, and going and giving everybody. Then you have to organize, you have to manage the mandapam and everything. Sometimes 2-3 days before the marriage, people don't sleep at all. They work very hard. Actually, in South India, sometimes the marriages would go for 3 or 4 days. I have seen my own sister's marriage went for 3 days. It's a very big festival. But then those 2-3 days, the elders, many of them, the responsible people like the father, mother, brother and all, they cannot even sleep also. And once the marriage is done, it's a big relief for them after that, isn't it? So you will see how we take responsibility for our own relatives. If your mother gets sick, you will personally take her to the hospital. Is it not true? Imagine if your father got a fracture or he has to have an eye operation or something, you will personally go. Because you will be, and if there is some heart bypass surgery or something, admitted in the ICU, how much time and energy we give? Correct, no? People are constantly making phone calls. So we give our wholehearted consciousness and attention in such situations. You can see that. In the same manner, Krishna says, put the same attention on me, he says. That is called bhakti. That means bhakti is that which is performed with number one priority. All other priorities become second, third, fourth of everything. Wholehearted consciousness. Just like, imagine if somebody were to sell some watches, costly watches in the market, you know, you can, you know, wear coat, suit, tie very nicely, clean shave yourself and present yourself, and you are standing on the pathway, you know, to inspire people to buy your watch. But then they ask you, show, you tell the glories of the watch, they ask you, show me the watch, you open the suitcase, you forgot to bring the watch. How foolish it would be. Similarly, repeatedly the scriptures say, namam sadayati yogo na sankhyam dharma uddhava. Like that he says, my dear Uddhava, you know, if somebody has jnana or sankhya or this or that, yoga, many, many things, none of it is capable of, you know, touching my heart, he says, as much as bhakti can touch my heart. And in Bhagavad Gita also Krishna says, bhaktiya tu ananya shakya aham eva mitodina. That's why the bhakti is the genuine love of the jiva for the Supreme Lord, which is completely untouched by any material motivations. No bhakti, no mukti, no siddhi, no contaminations. That is called shuddha bhakti. So when the heart of a devotee is awakened by such bhakti, how is that awakened? Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur says five things, he says. If one has heard from someone, and that someone is not anybody, he has to be bona fide. Yadrichayamatkatadav jata shraddhastiya puman nanirvinno natisakto bhakti yogosti siddhidaha. This is from the 11th canto. He says, yadrichayamatkatadav, somehow or other one got association of some Vaishnava devotee whom he heard by hearing. Somehow he heard, and after hearing, he developed the attraction to see. Like for example, somebody heard the glories of Krishna. Like, you know, I heard that there was one devotee, not a devotee, he was a man in Bombay. He had planned to commit suicide in the railway line. So he went and lied down in a railway line. As usual, the Indian trains are late. You know, the train was almost 4 hours late. So somebody saw him lying down and captured him and brought him out and asked him, what are you doing? Nonsense. So he said, no, leave me. I want to commit suicide. So that fellow didn't leave him. Somehow or other, he spoke to him in a hope-giving way. So this fellow didn't commit suicide. He thought that next week I'll commit suicide. This time it was a flop, you know. So he thought, in that 1 week, he heard one song. I don't know that Hindi song, many of you may be aware, it's a very famous song. So he heard the song that, you know, in that world there is, no suffering, no old age, no disease, no death, everybody is happy and all that. So it's very famous in the Hindi song. So he heard that song, and then he found out the music director who wrote the song and personally went to meet him. When he met the director and asked him, sir, tell me, where is this place about which you have written? That fellow said, Aisahi Ligdya, no, I just wrote like that. I don't know any such place. But that's what everybody is looking for, he said. So I wrote it. Then I thought such a place really exists. So suddenly he came across a devotee in the train who told him, come to our temple, you will find such a place, what you are asking. So then he brought him to the Chaupati temple. Radha Gopinath temple. So Sunday feast. So somebody called him and gave a big plate of prasad. She asked him, how much charges? He said, no charge, free. So this is the first time in his life he ate such a big plate of prasad with no charges. Somebody giving him. Somebody spoke lovingly with him. Somebody gave him prasad. Somebody gave him a booklet. So this fellow was thrilled seeing the people with bright, lit up faces and all dancing, singing, such a kind of festival atmosphere. So he really, that very first experience was the best experience for him. Like we say, first impression is the best impression. He felt already have come to such a world here. He thought like that because everybody was appearing. When he met each of them, he could see that people are selfless, people are kind, courteous, and they are eager to, share something with him. So he started coming. Later on, he grew up in his Krishna consciousness and went on to become one of the counselors of Chopari Temple. Can you imagine? So, in this way, you can see that the living entity, how he comes to devotion service, the first is by hearing from someone. That hearing creates a desire to see. And then when one goes to see Krishna and his devotees and the spiritual world, and one goes to see, then one gets a chance to directly serve Krishna. And when one directly serves Krishna, then, like he says, Krishna enters the heart of such a devotee. Not only enters, he permanently stays there. Asse, he says. Asse means he stays there, he never leaves the heart of the devotee. Shruta ikshita patho. It's called as Shruta ikshita. Ikshita means to see. Shruta means to hear. You see by hearing. There is another verse also which says the same thing. Etutvadiya charanam bujakosha gandham. So that verse says, Etutvadiya charana ambuja kosha means the Lord's two lotus feet, the middle portion of the two lotus feet is called as like the inside of a whirl of a lotus. Like sometimes you see a blue lotus, the inside of which is fragrant. So Lord's lotus feet, kosha, kosha gandham, if somebody has smelled that fragrance, and then he says, jigranti karna vivarai shruta vata neetam. Shruti vata ni. Vata means the air. The air which carries the saffron dust particles from the Lord's lotus feet, when it enters into the nostrils of the devotee, and then shruta, there also he says, jigranti, you smell it how? Karna vivarai. See, here is the connection between smelling and hearing. Generally, you only smell the saffron particles from a lotus pollen with your nose. But the Vedic sound vibration is such that in the Bhagavatam it is said, vicharasi uru swanaha is said in Bhagavatam, which means if somebody keeps reading Bhagavatam with a faithful heart and a sincere heart means that heart which is constantly trying to weed out the anarthas. That is called as a sincere heart. A devotee who admits that I have deficiencies, difficulties, struggles, impurities in my heart, and I want to remove them so that I can render service to Krishna very blissfully, beautifully, nicely. So any devotee who is working is called a sincere devotee. So such a sincere devotee, as he approaches the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, what will happen? He will get Krishna in the verses of Bhagavatam. As one studies the Bhagavatam, gradually the vision of Krishna will come in the heart of a devotee. By hearing about Krishna, one will gradually start feeling the presence of Krishna through the Shastra Chakshu. So, there are five stages, beginning with Pratyaksha, Paraksha, Aparoksha, Adokshaja, and Aprakrita. Actually, I don't want to elaborate on each of these very much because it will be one full class on this. But I can say one or two sentences about each of them. Prati Aksha means, initially when a person comes to Krishna consciousness, he sees the behavior of an advanced Vaishnava, Sadachar, of a Vaishnava. How Vaishnava is gentle, how he is kind, how he is joyful, how he looks like somebody from another world. So by seeing the behavior of a Vaishnava, one develops a desire to imitate such behavior. That is Pratyaksha stage. If a Vaishnava speaks sweetly, you keep associating with him, then you also speak sweetly. Like Vaishnava says, would you like to have prasad? Then when you see somebody else, you ask them the same question, would you like to have prasad? You just ditto. You repeat it. And you see the Vaishnava offering obeisances. So you also offer obeisances. You see Vaishnava offering flowers certain way. You also offer like that. He dances in a certain way. You dance in a certain way. You simply copy the Vaishnava. That is Pratyaksha. And while when we keep doing that, we come to the higher stage called Paraksha. Paroksha. Paroksha means what? We agree to see through his eyes, not our eyes. Like for example, he is taking darshan of the deities, standing in front of the deities. Somebody doesn't know whether the deity is an ordinary doll or it is Sakshat Krishna standing there with flute. But because I have faith in this person, I also see the Lord as he sees. So I stand right next to him and I also fold my palms. If he does pradakshina, I also do pradakshina. Which means, I agree to see the world through his eyes. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Koriya Aikya Arna Kori Homane Asha. That's what this verse says. That I fix my intelligence in his teachings and I put full faith in whatever he says. That is Paraksha. Which means, he says that there are three energies. Antaranga Shakti, Bahiranga Shakti, Tatas Shakti. And the Bahiranga Shakti is like a smoke. It cannot give you happiness. But the Antaranga Shakti can give you happiness. Take shelter of Srimati Radharani, not shelter of Durga. When he says all these things, I put faith. Right now I am not convinced that sense gratification is poison for me. But I believe in it because he says so. Like somebody may ask you, if you go for preaching and say, oh, you have to give up sense gratification. They may ask you why. Because it is very bad. Bad? Who told you it's bad? It is so enjoyable. Sorry, I don't know. He only told me. That means the realization has not yet awakened. He may just repeat the knowledge, but personally he is not convinced. So this is Paraksha. And then Aparoksha means you not only believe in his words, but you also can see what he says yourself with your own eyes also. We also start seeing, yes, it is true. Like there was one boy in Pune, he was in Merchant Navy. So 6 months he was in ship. Then he came for 2 months holidays to Pune, you know. So I asked him, how was your stay in the ship? So he was telling, oh, I was like a fish out of water. He was telling. So I said, fish, if you are a fish, then already ocean is there. You are in the middle of the ocean only. He said, no, Prabhuji, really, I was like fish out of water. He said, this example I have heard in Prabhupada's books before. In my early days, I didn't realize it. Now I realized it. When I went to the ship, what it means to be away from devotees. Whereas here, when he came for the morning program, he had tears in his eyes when he saw devotees chanting and Guru Puja dancing. He said, wherever I turn around, there is tilak. Everybody with dhoti kurta, everybody speaking about Krishna. Their mouths are releasing only things related to Krishna. But in the ship, I had to be surrounded by people who are drinking and smoking and, you know, all kinds of dirty habits. He said, I felt like a fish out of water. So, the fish out of water is a theory for a person who doesn't have practical realization. But it will become a practical realization when one comes to third stage. When one can see that gratifying senses independent of Krishna is like hell or poison. He can see impurity as impurity and purity as purity. One can see. Like you see, like a young boy considers a young girl to be very special. That is because of avidya. Imagine if a young boy, in a classroom he gets the kerchief of a young girl, he may consider the kerchief to be transcendental. Because he may think this, that beautiful girl's kerchief I got. Tomorrow morning I will get a chance to go to her and give her this kerchief. Please take it. He will tell a dozen friends, do you know what commodity I got today? Next day morning, he will go and tell her, madam, here is your kerchief. She will say, thank you. She will take it. And then he will record that word, thank you, you know. He will hear it repeatedly. She said, thank you. And that too, the thank you, she told me only. Is it not true? But what is a kerchief? It contains all the dirty stuff from the nose. To realize it is understanding avidya to be avidya. And to not realize it is avidya, you see. On the other hand, the same boy will wonder if you see the pujari taking a kerchief and offering to Krishna, when he does arati. Like one boy was asking, why they are rotating all these different things? They are offering lamp, they are offering kerchief, they are offering. Then I told him this example. If you get a beautiful girl's kerchief and when you give it to her, how do you feel? He said, oh, that is a very special offer. I said, we feel the same way when you offer to Krishna, you see. So, the devotee offers all the items to Krishna with love, you see. So, when you come to third stage, pratyaksha, paraaksha, when he comes to aparoksha, he himself can also understand the truth, he realized. Then he comes to adokshaja, fourth. See, adha means push down. Akshaja means those things which are born of seeing with our eyes. Which means the material things which we see, those things are pushed down. Which means you don't see the material phenomenon. You only see spiritual phenomenon. Which means, just like in a computer, you say send to back, bring to front. You say, sometimes you put it. So the spiritual things are brought to front, the material things are sent to back. Which means, your devotee, for example, you see some tree in Vrindavan. So you don't see the tree as a tree. Before that you were seeing tree as a tree. Now you see, here is a jiva who is wearing a tree's body. When you say squirrel, you say, here is one of my 8.4 million species brothers who is wearing a squirrel's body. When you see a caterpillar jumping and moving, here is another brother of mine who is wearing a caterpillar dress. So you see every jiva as a living entity wearing a particular dress. So if somebody is cutting a tree, you will immediately, like Prabhupada saw in Boston temple in those days, Sasvada Maharaj says that they had cut a tree partly and Prabhupada was deeply pained. And Prabhupada told, don't cut it anymore, because beyond a certain stage if you cut a tree, it cannot grow because the jiva will leave and go away. So Prabhupada saw the jiva in the body of a tree also. So a devotee over a period of time will see the spiritual phenomenon even in the material world. Or when you see a tree in Vrindavan, we don't see that even as a jiva, you see the tree as a kalpavriksh tree. You may go and embrace the tree and close your eyes and offer a prayer. Oh tree, please give me love for Krishna. Because you see the tree with a spiritual eye. That is adokshaja. Everything. In Vaidhi Bhakti, Sadhana Bhakti, when we do, we also, like we bow down to Tulasi tree. Anyone who bows to Tulasi tree or sees Tulasi, touches Tulasi, smells Tulasi, circumambulates Tulasi, waters Tulasi, eternally lives in Vaikuntha. That we have heard from the Vishnu Purana. So we may do so. Out of faith we may do so with some understanding. But in the adokshaja stage, one is very advanced. The spiritual phenomenon which he does is very spontaneous and very natural for a devotee. He actually sees everything only spiritually. He doesn't see anything materially. If Prabhupada is looking at a big truck going, he can only see spiritually how this can be used for Sankirtan. When he saw a big truck. Like he saw that Fisher's mansion, big building. And Prabhupada met the owner, he said, this is fit for a king to live. It's like a royal place. And that man was smiling. I think Swamiji is thinking of purchasing. And Prabhupada said, but we are beggars, Prabhupada said. We have no money to buy your property. And Prabhupada was so confident, he asked him for the Fisher's mansion in donation. Prabhupada said, would you like to donate it to us? And the man was looking up and down, how dare you ask such a question? I have brought you to show this place to sell it. See, only a pure devotee can have such a confidence, because he sees everything to be belonging to Krishna. It's very easy to give a lecture, everything belongs to Krishna. But to feel it, experience it, realize it, in adokshaja stage, one can see stone, one can see gold and silver like pebbles and stones. One can see like that. So you put Prabhupada in a Cadillac, you put him in a Rolls Royce, you know, he is happy. You put him in a bullock cart, he is happy also. It makes no difference. Like in New Vrindavan, when they thought Prabhupada is coming for 10 days, he was giving the Bhagavata Dharma lectures there, you know, for 10 days. So when Prabhupada came, they had cleaned the toilet and everything and kept it spick and span. So Prabhupada can come and use. And devotees used to click photos of Prabhupada everywhere he went. So when devotees were clicking photo of Prabhupada, and then Prabhupada, they thought Prabhupada was going to go to the lavatory, but Prabhupada didn't go there. He took a, you know, lota, and then he started going towards the bushes. And one fellow went behind Prabhupada to click photo. Prabhupada said, "Not now." And that fellow didn't know where Prabhupada is going now. You know? Actually, they didn't know Prabhupada is going to the bushes for passing. So, you will see for a pure devotee, a very beautiful spick and span lavatory and going to bush makes no difference. Similarly, Rolls Royce car or a, you know, your bullock car doesn't make any difference. Like I remember when we got our new sumo in our Pune, it was all, the seats were having plastic cover and everything. So we tore it and everything, we sat. So when all of us occupied the sumo, they started driving. We felt so proud, even for her. Because in those days, sumo was rare. Now sumo is a very cheap thing now. So when we go in a sumo, or imagine sitting in your posh car of, you know, some Innova or something like that, they put you in the front seat, some congregation devotees taking you for a program. We feel proud, although the car doesn't belong to us. As if the car belongs to us. When all the people are standing in the bus stop waiting for buses, we think, "I am going in a Innova car, see me, see my greatness." You know, feel like, and that is why we are generally not taken so easily in such big cars. You know? So, yeah, when one comes to that adakshaya stage, one can see things spiritually. And then the aprakrita means the devotee's heart becomes a playground of Krishna's pastimes. That is aprakrita stage. He lives in the spiritual world. So, now it is time now. Another time I will continue. So, shruta ikshita means by hearing, one can get the eyes to come through these five stages. And then, in another lecture, if any of you remind me, we will talk about the next two lines. How the Lord appears in a form which is very dear to the heart of the devotee. Bahir Narsimha, Hridaye Narsimha. Because he wants to see Narsimha in his Hriday. Lord is appearing as Narsimha for Prahlad. Grantharshimad Bhagavatam ki, Shri Prabhupada ki.